Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. The favorite hour of your day is now underway here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. I am your host, Al Martin, the captain of this ship. I'll be hopefully entertaining you all throughout the next 60 minutes here on this hump day. It's Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018, and we've got a lot to get to. As promised, I'll give you my thoughts on this whole Le'Veon Bell situation. We briefly touched on it yesterday. It looks as though Le'Veon Bell is going to be ready for week 8 as the Steelers take on the Cleveland Browns. But why now? That's the big question that I have for Le'Veon. I mean, why not just ride this thing out like we initially thought you were going to do until week 10? I just don't get it. All right, so we'll dive into that. But also some breaking news that was made public yesterday as it pertains to the FBI investigation into NCAA men's basketball. We all know about the Brian Bowen drama, right? Brian Bowen, highly touted recruit coming out of high school. Brian, really out of left field, decided to commit to Louisville. And yeah, there was some controversy when it comes to that because we all know what happened with Rick Pitino out in Louisville, right? He is no longer the head coach there. But Michigan State, if you remember, was going after Brian Bowen. Some positive news comes out of this story, all right? I'll explain in just a moment, and we'll have brief thoughts on that. Also, we'll briefly touch on Tom Izzo being made available to the media yesterday during practice at the Breslin Center. Could the Michigan State men's basketball team dabble in a bit of zone defense this year? I kid you not. This is a real thing. All right, this is a real conversation. I think we may see it at least one time this year. All right, hear what Tom Izzo had to say concerning the zone defense. And Ndamukong Suh, was with the Lions, of course. Highly touted defensive lineman for the Detroit Lions. Now is with the LA Rams. And he made a statement that takes a jab at his former quarterback, Matthew Stafford. And how about LeBron James? I mean, LeBron James, I know the MLB playoffs underway right now. You know, you got the NFL right in the thick of things. But LeBron James still, especially with the MLB playoffs taking place yesterday, he grabbed the top sports headline last night, putting on a show in the purple and gold, all right? So I'll put in perspective the LeBron James hoopla, and I'll explain why it's a bit weird. We all know that seeing LeBron James in a Lakers jersey is just weird right now, but why we should temper the hype, all right? I'll get to that on the back end of the show. We'll do all of that. We'll try to, while inviting you to be a part of the hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call, and please keep it clean. All right, those who tuned into yesterday's current sports, you know what I'm talking about. Keep it clean. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Check out the live stream there and comment below that video. And you can even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. But hey, you know what's next? It's now time for your current sports quick hit headliners. I'm going to have a little bit of help with me on this, all right? I'll be joined during our headliners by the voices of Trevor Tozlowski and also Adam Mackey, outstanding current sports production assistants and reporters. Here we go.
All right. Cool.
And we'll start with some Michigan State hockey news, a pretty cool event taking place tonight. Adam Mackey now joins me to introduce that headliner. Adam, what's happening tonight at Mudd?
All right. Michigan State hockey is set to begin year two in the Danton Cole era. They'll play the green and white inter-squad scrimmage tonight, 7.05 p.m., puck drop, Mount Ice Arena. Free hockey, no admission will be charged. Spartans will play two periods with a 15-minute intermission. And following the scrimmage, they'll host a meet-and-greet for fans. And puck drop for the regular season begins on October 12th and 13th against Northern Michigan at home.
So really like the unofficial start of Michigan State hockey tonight. Again, that will be 7.05 p.m. at Mount Ice Arena. My favorite word, F. R-E-E. Totally free. Go out and support Danton Cole's squad. I'm excited to see what he does now in his second year at the helm of Michigan State hockey. Also, we've got some Michigan State softball action taking place as well, Adam.
Yes, sir. Michigan State softball heads to Ann Arbor to play the Michigan Wolverines at 5 p.m. today. This scrimmage is a part of their 8-game fall schedule, which includes upcoming games against Kalamazoo Valley Community College and Northwood University. The NCAA allows Division I softball teams 8 fall games that don't count against their spring schedule. Today's game will be streamed via Facebook Live from the team's account.
Awesome stuff. Okay, also want to note that the Michigan State men's golf team placed 9th in the Marquette Intercollegiate in Hartford, Wisconsin yesterday. Now, their best round came in the last round when they posted a 1-under par following the tournament. MSU head coach Casey Lubon said, quote, "It was nice to finish with a little better round today. Unfortunately, we put ourselves in too big of a hole to finish where we wanted to be." Now, Northwestern won the tournament with a 6-under par, finishing just 2 shots ahead of Arizona State University. The Green and White now compete in the Fighting Irish Classic in South Bend, Indiana, on my birthday, October 7th, and then the day after, of course, on October 8th as well. Also, we'll dive more in-depth in this story in just a moment, and we'll have expanded thoughts. But get this. Prosecutors say former Adidas executive Jim Gatto, former Adidas employee Merrill Code, and agent runner and Saginaw native Christian Dawkins defrauded schools such as Kansas, Louisville, Miami, and NC State, all of which are sponsored by Adidas. Now, part of the case surrounds the recruitment of Saginaw native and star basketball player Brian Bowen, who considered coming right here to East Lansing at Michigan State under the leadership of Tom Izzo. In a story from the Arizona Daily Star, Michigan State was one high-profile program that at least one lawyer said did not violate any NC2A rules. This is what Steve Haney, Dawkins' attorney, had to say. Quote, "Michigan State was one of the only schools that was not going to pay Brian Bowen to go there." How about that? Talk about integrity, right? Tom Izzo. And speaking of Tom Izzo and Zone, what? Say it ain't so. It's October, so it's time for Izzo to float the idea that maybe, just maybe, this is the year Michigan State men's basketball will play some zone defense. He might be serious this time, and not just for one play in an exhibition. Now, like the Spartans did last season as a tribute to former head coach Judd Heathcote. Rest in peace, Judd. Izzo, who earned his Hall of Fame jacket with his team's playing hard-nosed man-to-man defense, he said on Tuesday at practice that he dispatched assistant coach Dwayne Stevens this summer to learn from other programs about how they run their zones. Now, it is a pilot program that is under the control of Stevens himself, a former Judd Heathcote player. All right, right now I want to pass the mic to Trevor Toslowski as he has some news when it comes to Jim Harbaugh and a phantom holding penalty that occurred on Saturday. Trevor, update us.
Yeah, during the fourth quarter, officials wiped out a long gain by quarterback Shea Patterson due to a mind-boggling holding penalty on running back Caron Higdon. It literally appeared that they created something that didn't happen. Harbaugh deemed the call phantom after the game. Today, he said during the conference, actually apologized to him about it. During his weekly interview this morning on the Jamie and Stoney show on WXYT-FM, Harbaugh was asked about the hold. He said the Big Ten admitted it screwed up the play. Harbaugh also called it the, quote, worst call in the history of college football since 1869.
Hold on now, Jim. Come on now. Since 1869, I think that's a bit of an exaggeration there. But I feel your pain because I looked at that play, too, and said, what? Are the referees, I should say, cooking this game? What's going on? So, yeah, there you have that. Harbaugh saying that the Big Ten did admit that it was totally wrong about that holding penalty on Caron Higdon. Thank you so much for that, Trevor. Also, my Detroit Pistons. Yeah, preseason basketball in the NBA. I'll probably be the only one in the state watching this entire game. I'm that big of an NBA fan, and I'm a diehard Detroit Pistons fan. I popped out the womb with an Isaiah Thomas jersey on. Projected starting lineups. Guard Reggie Jackson, Reggie Bullock. Also, forward Glenn Robinson, who has been turning some heads in preseason camp. Forward Blake Griffin and center Andre Drummond. For the Thunder, you got Dennis Schroeder, Terrence Ferguson, Paul George, Jeremy Grant, and also Steven Adams. What to look for? Just one thing here. Reggie Jackson did not play 5-on-5 this summer while rehabbing the ankle injury that he suffered last season. He looked quick, but tentative. And the team's open scrimmage last week, and also Thunder star Russell Westbrook is out, recovering from a knee injury. All right, Rockies Cubs, Jack Kerwin behind the glass, engineer of Current Sports. Jack, did you watch this entire game?
Watched from probably the first inning to the third inning, and then about the eighth inning on.
Oh, okay, so that's how you like to do it then. You watch the beginning of it, and then just tune in later on in the game to see what happens in the final?
I actually fell asleep.
Hey, it happens, brother. You know what happens to me sometimes?
What's that?
You know, when I'm watching sports and I'm tired, what'll happen to me, Jack, is I'll say, all right, well, let me just rest my eyes on the commercials. And when you do that,
it's a dangerous strategy.
You know that's a danger.
Yep.
Anytime you say, I'm just going to rest my eyes in the commercial, you end up waking up and the game is either over or it's the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left, all right? But no, I feel you on that. I checked out some of this game, but Trevor told me it was 5 hours. That's the thing that I just can't get jiggy with when it comes to baseball, dude. Playoff baseball is great. I'm not bashing MLB here. The games are just so dang long sometimes, man. 5 hours?
You know what? The extra innings were absolutely exhilarating, though. There's a guy from Barstool that I really like who's a Cubs fan. Mm. And one of the things they do is, they call it the electric chair, where you can watch them watching the games.
Really?
And he threw out his back the other day. So he was just laying down on the ground, and he had, his eyes covered. whenever anything bad happened, it was pretty funny, to be honest with you. So I was watching that while I was watching the game.
Well, I was about to say, how entertaining can it be to watch somebody else watch a game? Coaches in the room, when they do with the right. National championship with college football. I like watching that because you get this commentary from these acclaimed coaches. But some guys from Barstool, interesting though. All right. Well, last night the Colorado Rockies defeated the Chicago Cubs 2-1 in the longest win or go home game in MLB history. Tony Walters, the backup catcher, delivered the game-winning RBI off of Kyle Hendricks in the 13th inning to send the Rockies into the NLDS, where they will face the Milwaukee Brewers. Kyle Freeland pitched 6 2/3 innings of scoreless baseball, the first ever postseason scoreless start in Rockies franchise history. The NLDS starts tomorrow with the Brewers hosting the Rockies at 5:07 p.m., followed by the Dodgers hosting the Braves at 8:37 p.m. Now, here is the go-ahead run and final out from last night's wild card game.
Walters with a base hit up the middle, and the Rockies have taken the lead! Now it's time! The Colorado Rockies have gone on the road and defeated the
Matt Vaskirjan on the call. All right. And last but not least, Ndamukong Suh. He's been popping off at the mouth when it comes to just how he's thrilled to have Jared Goff basically as his quarterback. Ndamukong Suh has been in the league for 8 years, has played with a variety of quarterbacks. He began his career, though, with Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions. Stafford, franchise QB in Detroit. Though Sue's rookie season saw Drew Stanton and Sean Hill start 13 games in place of an injured Stafford. In Miami, it was the Ryan Tannehill show, still is. When Tannehill was hurt in 2017, though, Jay Cutler took over. Someone Sue was very familiar with from his days in the NFC North. Now he gets to face Jared Goff every day in practice. And he didn't hesitate calling him the best quarterback he's played with. I'll have extended thoughts on that story as well. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the hour. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Again, our live stream is up and running there. You can comment below that video and I will do my best to get to your comments. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin. WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
Something, some way, shape, or form. I just look at the stats from last year and I say, God, we were so good defensively and we were so good in a lot of other ways. But, you know, there should be a little change, a few adjustments, so that.
All right, happy Wednesday, everyone. It is October 3rd on this homecoming week here in East Lansing for Michigan State University. Homecoming is always a great time. As you all know by now, Michigan State football will play host to Northwestern this Saturday afternoon. And when it comes to homecoming, it's always exciting because you have the homecoming parade that, like, unofficially kicks off things on Friday. And I'll be out there emceeing that. This will be my, what is that? Three years emceeing the homecoming parade, which is also a thrill that I look forward to every single year. Shout out to Sherry Jones at Channel 6. Also Terry Braverman. And also my former engineer, Isaac Constance, who held it down with me the last 2 years. And Ian Hawley will actually be coming into town and will be joining me to rock the mic come this Friday for the MSU homecoming parade. So that's going to be a fun time. And then, you know, because I do the show at 1, go and MC homecoming for the parade, and then I shoot immediately from there, and I go to the Breslin Center to rock the mic for Michigan State Madness, which is always a fun time. Marking the unofficial start of Spartan basketball, right? You get the introduction of both the Michigan State men's and women's basketball teams. You know, Susie Merchant comes out and does something real cool, dresses up as someone, or, you know, has a certain theme going on, right? And Tom Izzo, I mean, this dude has been shot from a cannon, quote-unquote shot from a cannon. He's come out as a member of the rock group, famed rock group Kiss. A couple of years ago, he came out just rocking his Basketball Hall of Fame jacket. So who knows what Tom Izzo will do on Friday, but I'll be in the house and hope to see many of our current sports listeners in the house at the Breslin Center on Friday night. So it's a great week to be a Spartan and maybe see some folks that you haven't seen in a while. I know a lot of my fraternity brothers who are MSU grads will be in town. I can't wait to see them. But there's nothing like homecoming at Michigan State University, all right? And speaking of Tom Izzo, you just heard a brief snippet from Tom Izzo's media availability during yesterday's practice at the Breslin Center. And what's a bit surprising, and I didn't think this storyline was going to come out of MSU practice or going to come out, period, when it comes to Michigan State basketball. Tom Izzo is contemplating playing a zone defense. Might finally use a zone defense? Chris Solari asked the question to Tom after maybe noticing some things during practice, noticing the Spartans practicing a zone defense. And Izzo, as you just heard, said, quote, "I hope it's not a toolbox thing." That's a strong statement. I hope it's not a toolbox thing. You know, saying that maybe this becomes a regular thing for Michigan State. Quote, "I swear every year I'm going to try to do a little more. So now I did a better job than anything I could do. I removed myself from it." That statement is so important. Again, I'll read it again. Tom Izzo on whether or not he's going to run a zone defense this year. Asked by Chris Solari, Michigan State beat writer for the Detroit Free Press, this is what Tom had to say. Quote, "I hope it is not a toolbox thing. I swear every year I'm going to try to do a little more. So now I did a better job than anything I could do. I removed myself from it." You know what he means there, right? I saw a look on Tom Izzo's face after that loss to Syracuse. And we all know Jim Boeheim, he's known for running a zone defense for the Orange. But I saw a look on Tom Izzo's face after that second round upset, a look that I hadn't seen ever really on the face of Tom Izzo. And it was confusion. He was puzzled as to what went wrong. How could this happen to a team with that much talent? I mean, we're talking about not one but two NBA draft lottery picks in Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson that are now getting paid at the next level. You had both of those phenoms, and you couldn't get out the first weekend. Tom was a bit confused, and I think he has done so much soul-searching since March, and he's willing now more than ever, to try some things. And answer that Michigan State men's basketball fanatic and that critic who says that Tom Izzo, his old coaching philosophy does not work here in 2018. Tom Izzo has lost touch with how to coach the game here in the modern basketball era. And in saying, quote, "So now I did a better job than anything I could do. I removed myself from it." In saying that, that speaks volumes as to what Tom Izzo is willing to do now to try and figure this thing out. You got to be encouraged. If you are a Michigan State basketball fan, hearing that from Tom Izzo, you have to be encouraged about what kind of adjustments will be made within this program, coaching-wise, in 2018, 2019. Because it tells me that Tom Izzo is not this stubborn, hard-headed coach that many believe he is and has been for years. This is his style. Look at my resume. I've been to Final Fours. I've got one national championship. I'm a basketball Hall of Fame coach. I know how this is done. I've come to realize that, you know, no matter how successful you are in your field, and my grandfather used to tell me this all the time, it doesn't matter how many years you got in this game, no matter what you do, whether you're an engineer, whether you're a teacher, a cop, whatever you do. Hey, current sports engineer, as Jack just chimed in my ear, me as a broadcaster coming on here at 1 o'clock every weekday, there is always something you can learn. There is always an adjustment you can make, or at least try to become better at your craft. And Tom Izzo, in saying this, I think he just told Spartan Nation that he's willing to adjust a bit. So I think we'll see the zone. You know, Jack, you said you think that we won't see it, but I think after hearing that and reading that quote over and over and over, I think Tom is willing to try some different things here. Now, how prevalent will the zone defense be in Michigan State men's basketball? Who knows? I'm not saying that every game Michigan State is going to come out in zone defense now and become Syracuse, all right? I'm just saying we may see it here and there. If things aren't working defensively for this team and Tom Izzo feels like, all right, my guards aren't defending, we just aren't getting the job done on that side of the basketball, why not try the zone? I think we may see it a few times this season, Jack.
You know, we'll have to see. Actions speak louder than words. With that being said, I really like these words. And, you know, I'm really hoping, because I think it would be fantastic. Because kind of like what you just brought up, Al, is you were talking about, you know, diehard Spartan fan who doesn't think Tom Izzo really adapts. And he's still kind of playing the same style he played in 2001 when they won that national title. And, you know, a lot of physicality. And, you know, described last year, you know, the MSU football lineup where we'd put out Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson and Nick Ward and, you know, usually Kenny Goins or Ben Carter or somebody to try to bang down low. And I'm hoping the team adapts a little bit, man, because, you know, we just haven't seen a lot of that from Spartan football or basketball in the recent years, you know?
Very, very true. And, you know, it's all about, because, hey, you know, I like the old saying, you got to change or get left behind. It's so
adapt
true.
Or die.
Adapt Absolutely. Or die, right? I like that one even better. Put that on a T-shirt, man. That's great.
Bill Belichick has a T-shirt that says adapt or die, actually.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Learn something new every day. But, you know, I used to talk with, you know, my former boss at Channel 6 about that all the time, you know, Fred Heumann, sports director there. And Fred, I remember we were moving into a new wave, right? This is when Twitter really started to blow up and, you know, we would have to post on social media a lot. And Fred's like, oh, my goodness, this stuff is going to run me out the business. I can't do all that and tweet and then, you know, learn this new editing system and everything's computerized. And, you know, like you said, adapt or die. He ended up adapting and it was just like same old same. Right. And he learned it and moved forward and still was one of the in my opinion, one of the best journalists here in the area. So there you have that. But your thoughts on Tom Izzo dabbling with the zone defense this season. Do you like it or do you not? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Many of you weighing in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. What I want to do right now, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we're going to dive into this whole Le'Veon Bell returning to the Pittsburgh Steelers conversation. Looks as though Le'Veon Bell is going to be at least listed as active against the Cleveland Browns. Got some thoughts on that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Real briefly, I just want to tease tomorrow's show. I think it's going to be a great hour that you do not want to miss. We will have two live in-studio guests. One of those guests will be, first, to lead segment A, Jarrett Bell, NFL beat reporter for USA Today. He is an MSU alum. That's my homie. He's going to be in town and live in studio to break down all things NFL for about 10 minutes. You don't want to miss that. And then after Jarrett leaves the studio, we'll have live in studio right after Jarrett, Jeff Gintner. Jeff Gintner is the vice president of Fox Sports South, located in Atlanta. And Jeff is going to dive into how sports broadcasting is changing here in 2018. So Jarrett Bell of USA Today and Jeff Gintner of Fox Sports South will be joining me live in studio on the Thursday edition of Current Sports. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. Going to be absolutely fire. All right? Don't miss that hour. All right, before I push forward here, I do want to acknowledge, we heard, and mad props to Trevor Tozlowski and Adam Mackey, who joined me for their first edition of the Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Great job for their first run at that. You'll hear their voices and more throughout the semester as we, of course, partner with the incredible Journalism 418 course here at Michigan State University inside of the Michigan State College of Journalism. Shout out to Professor Joanne Gerstner for that. And also, we have not heard, though, and for good reason, the third production assistant who helps out on a regular basis every Wednesday edition of Current Sports, Tino Abarca, who is a diehard Chicago Cubs fan. So, Tino, I just want to get your brief thoughts on what happened yesterday as the Rockies topped your Cubs. And that thing went 13 innings, 5 hours. I'm sure you're diehard, so I'm sure you watched the whole thing, right?
I was up.
Just thoughts on what happened last night. What happened with the Cubs last night?
You know, I was feeling every type of emotion this morning. I was listening to some Usher, like my wife just cheated on me or something. You know, I was hurt.
It was that bad. Like your honey just did you wrong, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The Cubs did you wrong last night, huh?
It was tough, but I mean, the stable of this Cubs team has been, they scored 8, 9, 10 runs one day, and they get shut out the next two. So,
right.
You know, as stacked as that lineup is, I mean, as a Cubs fan watching them all season, you almost expect it.
Yeah, that's very, very tough. So how would you like, you know, looking at this year for the Cubs, and again, the recent success of a World Series, right? I mean, that was historic. I'll never forget when that happened. How would you sum up the season?
You can't call it a success because at this point, you know, we've been spoiled as Cubs fans, but you hear every guy in that locker room post game, it's championship or bust. And that's the mentality now.
Yeah.
Every team celebrates with champagne, once they make the postseason, and you know that, but
right.
This year they didn't because they wanted to win the division. They didn't. They would have celebrated last night with, you know, champagne in the locker room on the field. You know, they would have done all that, but, no celebration, which is, you know, it's not normal to see, but
right.
you get the mentality of this team and where they want to be.
Definitely. I totally hear you. And it's kind of a catch-22 for me when it comes to the MLB wildcard games, because sure, is a one game elimination in the playoffs exciting? Without a doubt. It's fun to watch, but you play 162 games, series after series after series, and it comes down to just one game for you to win or go home. Are you a fan of the wild card?
Listen, I'll take it a step further. If you look at the NL Central tiebreaker against the Brewers, the Cubs won the season series 11-8.
Right.
If they had it in a format where, you know, the season series leader doesn't have to play that, mm-hmm. I mean, they're not playing that wild card game. They're waiting to play tomorrow in the division series. So, like I said, I'd take it a step further, but I wouldn't say it's fair, not fair. I mean, life isn't fair, but
yeah, no, I hear you.
Kind of what you have to deal with.
But you're not a fan of it, though. You would like to see them do away with the wild card, or no? Or keep it?
I don't mind it.
You don't mind it?
I don't mind it.
It's all about money at the end of the day. I mean, it's you know, fans are going to tune in and watch that. You know, one game, do or die. I get the hoopla surrounding around it. I just don't think, you know, but like you said, Tino, I like that. You guys are killing it with the phrases behind the glass. Life isn't fair. Put that on a t-shirt, because life isn't fair. And that's how it goes sometimes. It's about the mighty dollar as well. And that's what those execs are looking at. I'm curious if we could, Jack, if you could look up, I'm curious to know what the rating of last night's Cubs and Rockies game was. And we have Adam Mackey also. He now has joined me in Studio West. He wants to dive into this whole Le'Veon Bell conversation. But Jack told me that, Adam, you're a Cubs fan as well? You're diehard. Are you from Chicago?
No, my grandparents are from Rockford, Illinois, which is a small little town. So okay. they've just always rooted for the Cubs their whole life. And every time I'd show up at their house, the radio would be on at the Cubs game. So I've just been a Cubs fan my whole life.
So you were blasting some Ursher, too, last night, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was a fantastic game. Wonderful pitching all around, but just bats just couldn't wake up.
Right.
Last couple
right.
games. So.
Well, I'm curious. I'm excited to have you guys a part of the team as the MLB playoffs roll along and we really dive into it. I'm curious to hear your takes as the playoffs roll along here. Jack, anything on those ratings at all? Has a rating been released? Okay, it has.
Yeah, so it looks like, according to Phil Rosenthal from the Chicago Tribune, in the city of Chicago, the tiebreaker was the most watched game since the opening day of 2017 where the Cubs raised the banner.
The tiebreaker was?
Correct. Okay. Yes. And then 1.9 household rating nationwide, it looks like.
For last night's game?
Correct.
I'm so bad when it comes to those numbers. I wonder in comparison, is that good or bad? I don't know.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you, to be honest with you.
But a 1.9 rating last night. Okay. All right. Thoughts on the MLB playoffs? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You heard my prediction. I'm going with, and again, it's the sexy pick. Everybody's picking Boston to go all the way. That's my pick. I don't see anybody beating the Red Sox. I think it is their World Series to lose. All right. We're chomping at the bit to get to this. Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a hot topic. For a lot of different reasons. And you know what, Jack? You know, I had a flashback to when we were in the old school studio, the AM studio. We kind of debated, you know, this back and forth then. And I kind of have some of the same points during that conversation. But, you know, the latest development when it comes to Le'Veon Bell is that he has decided that he wants to return to the Steel Curtain. And Mike Tomlin and company, it has not been the Steel Curtain this season. Let's be real. The Steelers have surprisingly struggled for a lot of different reasons, But Le'Veon Bell has been watching this unfold in his South Florida home. And we all know about the drama, right? Le'Veon Bell has been holding out this season. He believes that he is worth more than what the Pittsburgh Steelers offered him in the offseason. The Steelers were going to franchise tag him, and Bell didn't show up for camp. And every week that goes by, when Le'Veon Bell is not on that active Pittsburgh Steelers roster, he is throwing out $855,000. That's deducted from his $14.54 million franchise tag tender. So far through the season, I mean, if we were to do the math here, and I'm not great at math. It's why I went into journalism. I'm horrible at math. But, you know, looking at the games that have been played, you know, they lose to the Ravens on Sunday. The week prior to that, you know, they did squeak out that three-point win over Ryan Fitzmagic. I don't think we can call him that anymore, though. But in the Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that was a 30-27 win for the Steelers. But prior to that, Patrick Mahomes beat the Steelers 42-37. And then we all know about, of course, the overtime game, the 21-21 season opening tie against the Cleveland Browns. So the Steelers have underperformed this season. And that's four games now where Le'Veon Bell has not played. So if we were to do the quick math, and somebody behind the glass with a calculator, I mean, if you times 855,000 times four, what is that number? And again, that's going to be deducted from that $14.54 million franchise tag tender. Now, again, it's $3.42 million, right, Jack? Jack just told me here, $3.42 million is what that adds up to. That is how much money Le'Veon Bell has lost out on so far this season, deducted from that, again, $14.5 million franchise tag tender. A part of me looks at it this way, and I think that Le'Veon Bell has been sitting back in Florida, watching his Steelers, and I think it started to hit him. One, first off, that the Pittsburgh Steelers could use him.
I get that. You know, and they drafted John Connor, and John has had a James Connor. John Connor's from Terminator, right? I'm stuck in movie mode. John Connor. James Connor. Thank you, Jack. James Connor. And James has had a relatively solid start to the season, but, you know, the running game has underperformed, all right? I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers rank near last in the league when it comes to the rushing attack. Le'Veon Bell has been watching this at home, and he's watching the Steelers lose. He's seeing certain areas where he can help this team. I mean, he had the quote reportedly where he's sitting there watching the plays, and he can predict the plays before they're even coming, right? And you add on the fact that he's missing out on money right now. I kind of have to agree with Terrell Davis. I saw the TMZ Sports snag down Terrell Davis, one of the greatest running backs of all time. And I don't know why Le'Veon just didn't show up. Sign that franchise tag tender. Get your $14.5 million. Show up and just play. You're missing out on $855,000 a week. This is the reason why, though. Why Le'Veon's been sitting out. I mean, he believes that he's worth more than the Pittsburgh Steelers offer him. Le'Veon, because this is not brought up a lot, and I keep bringing this up whenever I have this conversation. Bell turned down the deal that the Steelers offered him earlier this summer. The offer from the Steelers was worth a total of $70 million. Over the course of 5 years, that's 14 mil per season. 70 mil over 5 years, $14 million per season. That would have made Le'Veon Bell the highest paid running back in the league by a clear $6 million at the time. This is before the Todd Gurley contract, who, by the way, is 2 years younger than Le'Veon Bell as well. I thought that was a fair deal. I didn't see anything wrong with 70 mil over 5 years, 14 mil per season. Although the offer would have given Bell the largest multi-year contract of any NFL running back in the league currently, he turned it down. And one of the reasons why is because of, yeah, that old conversation, right, of guaranteed money. And he felt as though his asking price was more than that. Bell reportedly wants 17 mil per season, not 14. He wants 3 million more. He wants the amount that he's just lost, actually, in the first four games of the season, right? 3 million more than what was offered to him. And when you look at the substantial guarantees here, according to NFL.com's Ian Rappaport, the contract included $33 million in guaranteed money. $33 million in guaranteed money, which was going to be paid out over the course of the first 2 years. Rappaport also noted that the first 3 years of the deal would pay out $45 million or 15 mil per season, but didn't note if all of that money was guaranteed. So it's an issue here of, I think I'm worth more than what I'm going to be getting paid in this contract by $3 million. I want $17 million. You're giving me $14 million here. And then the guaranteed money. He didn't like $33 million in guaranteed money. So Bell decided to bet on himself. And he may cash in big time with free agency come next year. But I think it's telling here that when the Steelers decided to put Le'Veon Bell on the open market and at least listen to other teams out there. You know, Le'Veon Bell's here. What are you willing to pay for Le'Veon Bell? And what are we going to get in return? And I think it's a bit telling that those talks stalled. I don't think that, especially when you look 4 weeks going by in the NFL year, you bring on Le'Veon Bell, who, again, we're just guessing that Le'Veon Bell is still in shape. He's an older running back. We're just guessing that he's still in the weight room, still keeping up, you know, still keeping himself together body-wise. We don't know that. So I think it's a bit telling that teams weren't willing to bank on arguably the best running back in the National Football League. I didn't see anything wrong. I keep saying this. I don't see anything wrong, Jack, with that initial contract. $33 million in guaranteed money? Sure. Look at Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley is getting $45 million in guaranteed money right now, but he's also a younger running back. And I understand the Pittsburgh Steelers use Le'Veon in multiple sets here. They use him as a receiver. They use him in the flat a lot, right? In addition to him being a running back for this squad. But if you're going to hold out and sit out, why in the world are you returning at this point in the season against the Cleveland Browns after this upcoming bye week? Why not go all in? I think part of it has to do with the fact that he's missing out on $800,000 every single week. Am I wrong here? I'll let you digest that. Go ahead.
No, I think that's fair because, to be honest with you, I don't know for sure why he's coming back now as opposed to...
I don't get that.
Yeah, no, after week 10 or whatever
especially
it is.
Especially with all the drama. I mean, you heard his teammates.
Yeah.
His teammates were getting ticked off at him, saying, all right, man.
Well, not all of them. Not all of them.
I'm just saying some of them in that locker room, especially
sure.
The linemen, because this is another point I made when we first had this conversation. The linemen are looking at this and saying, okay, this is a mutual relationship here. We look good because of you, Le'Veon. We may not be the best offensive line in the game, but you make us look pretty darn good. I tell you that. When you're out there and you're running through holes and that patience that he has and he's cutting through, he makes that offensive line look good and in turn affects their pocketbooks as well. So if he isn't showing up, that affects their worth as well, I think. So I think some of them just got a bit irked and aired that out. Le'Veon is going to have to come in that locker room and before practice even starts. I don't even know if Mike Tomlin should play him. Shouldn't Mike Tomlin even play him? Jay, because what kind of message would that send? You sit out. You didn't show up to training camp. You didn't show up the first four games of the year because of this whole holdout thing. And you just think you can walk in and immediately become our starting running back over James Conner, who showed up to every team meeting. He showed up the first 4 weeks. He's put in the work. He's working with the assistant coaches. It'll go back to the conversation that I've had about Mike Tomlin. He babies his players way too much and allows them to do whatever they want in the locker room. Big Ben popping off at the mouth and criticizing the coaching staff. He doesn't get any slap on the wrist or anything. Mike Tomlin won't even address that. Antonio Brown films a session in the locker room that's supposed to be private. Antonio Brown is suspended. You know, Mike Tomlin lets his players do whatever. So Le'Veon Bell should really just walk in the door, not having played a game, not having showed up to training camp, and just immediately become, oh, yeah, everything's fine and dandy. You are starting back. That sends the wrong message, I think. I don't
heavy disagree there, but
okay.
But in regard to the contract, though, again, the only part of that contract that was fully guaranteed was the first $10 million of the signing bonus. If Le'Veon Bell would have gone out and gotten hurt this season, just like what we just saw with Earl Thomas.
I know. Earl
exactly.
Thomas
flipping off the Seahawks organization because he couldn't get a new contract.
This is different. This is a running back, Jack.
I understand that, but the whole point is Earl Thomas is a star. So is Le'Veon Bell. What do stars want in the NFL right now? Guaranteed money. They want stability. He saw what happened to Ryan Shazier last year. Ryan Shazier was almost paralyzed in that football game last season.
He's not a running back.
Okay, he is once again a high-profile NFL player.
I am not going to pay a running back where the shelf life is 2 years. That kind of guaranteed money. I'm just not. That's the position you chose to play. I'm not going to break the market. Again, it goes back to my conversation here. Look, I may believe that I'm worth a mil here at WKAR when I turn on this mic every day at 1 o'clock. I may believe that, Jack. I may believe that. I may be that sick in the brain. But the market here in Lansing, Michigan, in market 114 in East Lansing,
this is
not
an apples to oranges comparison.
No, you can make this comparison, all right?
He's an NFL player, man.
The market isn't going to pay you what you want all the time. That's just how it is. And that's the market isn't going to pay Le'Veon Bell what he wants.
Okay, so
he's a running back. Jack.
So let me ask you this right here. Guaranteed at sign, Todd Gurley got $22 million. This contract would have given Le'Veon 10. Is Todd Gurley really worth 2.2 times more guaranteed money than Le'Veon Bell right now?
Right now? I don't know. And that's an interesting debate to have. Todd Gurley is great.
He is great.
Watching him.
But Le'Veon Bell is great.
These first 2 weeks, I don't know. I don't know. All right. Due to time, we haven't even got... I'm sorry, Adam. Adam's been sitting here just watching this go back and forth. Adam Mackey, I know you've been, listening to this whole thing. Just your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell before we hit our final break here. It's hot in here. Man, I just got real... I'm really hot right now. Is it the coffee or this debate? heated conversation. Adam, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I agree with everything that has been said here. I am very, very indifferent about it because, like you said, there is nothing really wrong with that contract. But just as Jack said, that Gurley had 22 mil guaranteed and Bell would have only had 10. Is Gurley really that much better? And also with what Jack said, watching what happened with Earl Thomas, I understand Earl Thomas is not a running back.
Yeah.
But that fragile type of player, that once in a lifetime player,
right?
If you're not being respected, and also it's an ego thing too. Like obviously Le'Veon, you know, possibly top back in the league. It's an ego kind of thing, but. Like I said, I'm just so indifferent because it's like you want to be a team player, you want to be there for your team, but you're also seeing how bad they are without you. And it's just like...
And there's a business side of things too, because
yeah, exactly.
I also think about when I watch Earl, I couldn't blame Earl Thomas for what he did when he got hurt and broke his leg.
I feel so bad for him, to be honest.
Right. I mean, because it's the thing I always think about as well. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a business and the NFL is not going to look out for you. The NFL is all about its bottom line, you know, its dollar, right? Yeah. And the NFL doesn't look out for the player. So I get it to a certain degree, but again, Le'Veon Bell playing the running back position, what did you expect? I would have took that contract. At least I would have, you know, and then showing up now, at least I would have, you know, like Terrell Davis said, I watched his interview this morning and, you know, I at least would have signed that franchise tag, got all of my 14 mil and been out there for my team. That's just me, though.
I agree with that. But also, like, if you're feeling like if you are a running back and you only have maybe 3-4 years left, you want to make the most of
you
not just on the field,
you
but you
want to
make, yeah,
right?
You want to protect the body. You want to make the most money you can possibly make.
Right.
So if he felt like that was not the most he could have made, and you're only going to give maybe 70% on the field, like if you're not going to give it your all because you feel like you're not wanted there, then why do it? So I kind of feel very back and forth about it. So
interesting points. Great stuff, guys. What are your thoughts as we have about 5 minutes left in the show? 517-355-WKAR. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this sizzling hot. I'm really hot right now. I'm like sweating underneath this thermal. I probably chose the wrong wear for this Wednesday. But on the back end of the show, we'll briefly talk about LeBron James and take this thing on home and the incredible fanfare surrounding LeBron James out in L.A. right now. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. That was a fun chat centered around Le'Veon Bell deciding to now return 4 games in, return to the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, and he will be ready against the Cleveland Browns, it looks like. Curious to see what Mike Tomlin decides to do there. If you missed it, though, if you're tuning in late, where have you been, first off? But if you've missed this show or any show that we've done in current sports history, you all know that we post the podcast version of the show around 2:30, 3 o'clock every single day on WKAR.org. You can listen that way, or you can just simply go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and watch the posted live stream of that day's current sports. All right. So multiple ways in which you can catch up and get your current sports weekday fix. All right, as we have 4 minutes left here, LeBron James, just want to briefly touch on him. LeBron James, boy, oh boy, you know, he made his Staples Center debut last night in the purple and gold, and I got to say it was really weird. It's been really weird to watch LeBron James rocking a L.A. Lakers jersey, but it's quite fascinating, and we love to tune in to new and different things, right? And LeBron James in L.A. is just new and different. We didn't think that he was going to go to L.A., but now he's out in L.A. He delivered his home crowd of Cleveland an NBA ring 2 years back. And now he's tackling now the most popular organization in all of the National Basketball Association. And, you know, it was so weird watching LeBron, you know, before the game, he, you know, in pregame, he watched his old Cleveland Cavaliers team play on television in front of his new locker room, locker area, I should say, which is the same locker area of Kobe Bryant, by the way. I wanted to let that point be known as well, because I think there's this conversation that Laker fans have been having amongst themselves, you know, how big should our arms be when it comes to embracing LeBron James? Because there's always been like this big debate in the NBA during the Kobe Bryant era, for sure. I mean, who's better, Kobe or LeBron? You know, who's the better ball player? And I think that's answered already. I mean, LeBron James is definitely the better ball player, but there are some delusional LA Lakers fans out there who believe otherwise. But, you know, Kobe was so beloved, and Kobe and LeBron went against each other so, you know, throughout their career so much that, you know, I feel like Lakers fans are kind of torn right now. But that looked like a full embrace last night. I mean, when his name was announced, the Staples Center lid popped off. Fans had their smartphones out. And this never happens at Lakers games, in part because they've been so bad in these recent years. But Lakers fans showed up like upwards of 2 hours early just to get a glimpse and welcome LeBron James to the Staples Center. But it's so fascinating because usually NBA basketball, especially in the preseason, let alone the regular season, NBA basketball is not talked about a lot during that time. But LeBron James has become one of, if not the topic next to the NFL, due to his stint with the Lakers. A few points I want to make about that on tomorrow's Current Sports. Don't miss it. Again, we'll have Jarrett Bell of USA Today. He covers the NFL for USA Today. And also Jeff Gintner of Fox Sports South. Both in-studio guests for tomorrow's show, the Thursday edition of Current Sports. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.